Blog Talk Radio.
Faith Class Radio, a syndication of Urban Glory Campaigns. Growing faith, growing God. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based organization founded by Reverend Levone Brelin with a global vision to reach the world that all may experience the glory of God. Visit us online at www.urbangloricampaigns.wordpress.com.
Hello, Faith Class Radio listeners. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaigns. We are delighted that you're listening tonight. Be prepared and continue to tune in. Text message your family members, friends, coworkers, everybody that is up at this time, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, to listen into Faith Class Radio. Shortly, Reverend Breeden will be on, talking to you, continuing on his Redemption Series broadcast. 2013 is the year of the redeemed, and stay tuned for Reverend Breeland.
Well, good evening. Thank you for listening to the broadcast tonight. If you're listening by the phone, you can dial in at calling 213-325-3434. Again, if you're on the internet, you need to get off the internet for some reason. You can dial in by listening to 213-325-3424. It's a delight to be on live tonight, and we are embarking upon our study entitled Redemption, Let's pray as we get started. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made. We shall rejoice and be glad. We thank you for another opportunity to surround ourselves in your word. It is the authority of your word that gives us confidence to make boldly known the mysteries of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do lean and depend on the Holy Spirit as educator and guide to give me clear articulation of speech and deliberation of thought as I make manifold known the wisdom of God. Holy Spirit, I say, have your way. Do what only you can do. Anoint the ears of the people to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. And Father, in everything that shall be accomplished and everything that shall be revealed, you be glorified. It is in the name of Jesus that we do praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I want to thank you again for listening to tonight. It is the word of God that gives us confidence to go and approach matters that are relevant to the time. And in particularly, we are embarking upon a study of redemption. Well, before we embark upon this study, there are some groundworks that we need to, as people of God, always keep in the forefront of our minds. That being said, we need to make certain that we have our proper approach to studying the Word of God. The Bible says to us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. And particularly in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 through 16, it says, till I come, give attendance to the reading and the exhortation to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing so thou shalt both... thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. The particular scripture brings emphasis to the doctrine that we have. And doctrine unplugs the underlining facets behind the faith that highlights the relevance to doing what we do. In Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21, it says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we have made known unto you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, where there came such a voice from him, the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." All right. On the Holy Mount. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that ye take heed as unto the light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men as they spake, as they were moved of the Holy Ghost. The study of redemption is a prophetic undertaking, prophetic in a sense that once the topic redemption is fully understood in the life of a believer, they will have a new sense of identity and prudence when it comes to exemplifying godly standards in a current time. Peter understood this by the time that he wrote the second address to the church in his letter. He had had a lifelong experience of developing character for the sake of the cross as a result of his steadfastness to the work which Jesus had mandated. He could validate what he believed with proofs, so that way the church of the next generation that would come after him would be affirmed in the consistency of the communication given by the apostles. Peter starts this particular portion by letting them know what we do in Christianity is not some story tale, but at the end of the day, it brings about a revelation that sparked from a miraculous mandate, where we that were with him also heard this phenomenon of God audibly speaking over a people when he came up from the waters, which John had baptized in the dirty Jordan, that son was he in whom the Lord was well pleased. And he says, from this pattern will I preach to you this gospel. And of course, you know, Peter's gospel was enabling the church that was some 50 years after the establishment of the initial church that met in the upper room. His particular movement would be pivotal for it being perpetual to the world, so that the gospel would go by any means. What God is doing in the scheme of the study of redemption is changing, number one, the connotation of our faith. Because faith without proofs is faith. God is enabling us to draw into deeper wells of meaning and understanding as to why we stand confidently proclaiming an endless gospel, particularly with an emphasis on what Jesus did in the scheme of time, in the three-year period, restoring the essence and the integrity and the authenticity of God's original plan for man. Redemption summarizes the reason behind the work of ministry, because it's changing the connotation of faith. Secondly, we know that not only is it changing the connotation of faith, but the nature of redemption creates a catalyst for the courage to correct current culture. It becomes a catalyst to correct current culture. Anytime you face a study of redemption and God brings back to you getting the underlying meanings, is because somewhere in time there has been a loss of sensitivity and integrity to that which will keep us as a people intact to the core values of God. I've been doing a study on redemption, and I can give you validated proof of showing that redemption is more a revelation. But at once that revelation is brought to the focus of a person who has placed aside these cunning fables and look for deeper meanings, they begin to confront this. It's an enabling and an empowerment given from God to address this. Peter, in this particular chapter in 2 Peter, of course, we know that we found in Timothy, addressed, told us to give attention to doctrine, that we need to know why we believe what we believe. And doctrines are set standards placed within the Word of God to serve as a barometer of whether we're right or wrong, to indicate righteousness from wickedness, to bring about truth from false or logical fallacies, false from fallacy, or truth from fallacy. God has enabled this word to reveal within our eyesight things that will bring Jesus back in the forefront of our reality and confront the issues with the things he courageously accomplished at the work of Calvary. If we cannot confidently explain it, we cannot give a hope to a generation that knows not God. We quote John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Have we ever explored why he loves that world? Well, part of it is because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all that dwells therein. God demands of himself and those things which he's created to bring back some sense of restoration into what he had predestinated that particular purposes and plans for the earth. And his love for the earth demands that there be a recompense, a restoration, a reconciliation, a rejuvenation, and a ridding of evils and the like amongst it to afford what God has predestined for the earth from the early from since it began. So there's a catalyst that's been awakened to change cultures, and it sparks from the revelation of our redemption. Redemption points us to Jesus, and then shows the path that Jesus took and accomplished, achieved, and provided for us, so that we too can then manifest those wondrous works and bring light back out of darkness. Amen. Now, thirdly, not only does this study change the connotation of faith and create a catalyst for a change in culture, but it confronts corruption within the church. We have not followed cunningly devised fables, but we have made known unto you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. Why? To confront the corruption. When there came such a voice from him, the excellent glory. This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And this voice came from heaven, we heard, when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We also have a more sure word, a word that is not cunningly devised through the craftiness of men. But this particular word is awakened through a prophetic path. And which brings me to a little bunny trail. I have been even writing this in a personal dialogue and study and just reflections on some things. The world has grossly distorted, and the church rather, has grossly distorted the concepts of prophecy. And as a result, the essence of that particular subject has not really hit the dark place to where the light can shine in its full glory. And as a result, a lot of people have a distorted appreciation for the Lord Jesus because their confidence is more in men than it is in God, who anointed Jesus as the means to bring about an awakening of the heart to unite to the Lord in spirit. And what has occurred is people gravitating to other people to produce pleasures over purpose. But here it says, knowing that the scripture is of no private, of any, the prophecy of the scriptures are of any private interpretation. Now, of course, it's not talking about prophecy, but it's talking about the prophecy of the scripture, meaning the prophetic path that God outlined in scripture, which is called redemption, doesn't have a private interpretation. But the prophecy which came in old time came not by the will of men, but by holy men as they spake, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so we understand that when we align to the path and the plan that God has for us to learn what we should learn about the Lord Jesus, it will awaken a light that will cause our heart to unite to the will of God so that we can find out what exactly in Scripture is placed to confront those things that have altered us from being who we really are as the church of the living God, the pillar ground of truth. So thirdly, this particular awakening calls for a confronting of corruption within the church. And fourthly, it calls forth a recompense to the role of righteousness. For righteousness for the believer is our greatest resolve. Our resolve to righteousness puts us back in right standing with God and makes us ready to do what God aligns us back into the path which God has predestined for our lives. Psalm 23:3 says, "He restores our soul. And he maketh us to, he leadeth us in the paths of righteousness for his namesake or reputation." So we understand, of course, he anoints us as well so that we can obtain this righteous path. Why? Because the righteousness, of course, we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But righteousness from God gives us access to God, to commune with God, and find that grace and favor and help in the time of need. We need to make certain that righteousness will always resolve to the Holy Spirit, the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is what enables us to live the Christian life. As we develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit, we will see exactly what it means to be redeemed. Fifthly and finally, as I hurry on, I would expound more on that, but for time's sake, it also mandates that we confide in the Holy Spirit as the source to guide the heart. We confide in the Holy Spirit as the source to guide the heart. Ephesians 4:23-32 says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying and speaking every man truth to his with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his own hands those things which are good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that ye may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speakings be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." We have to confide in the confidence in our hearts, the Holy Spirit. You know, today, I would have naturally closed out the lesson with a song and intro, but I think by the prompting of the Spirit, I want to prep us a little more in these next 6 minutes that I have to really take insight in the Word of God and to really develop and encourage you that the things that you're going to be hearing this year is going to confront the authenticity of why we believe what we believe. It's going to bring back focus to the body of Christ as to what is the purpose behind this. So in this particular study, we're going to have some synthetic overview of the Bible as a whole to provide the grasp and the overall message behind redemption. And at times I'm going to be much more analytical, where we, like we did in 2 Peter, took a verse-by-verse analysis and to get deeper understanding behind it. Not reducing it to the study of Scripture, but saying God in the set of the maturing of the church released a word through the Apostle Peter to let us know that there is a greater form of prophetic proof that comes from not cunningly devised fables, but from the glory and honor bestowed upon Jesus, which they were eyewitnesses of. And if you can learn those things and get back and focus on these things and know that it's of no private interpretation, but as it was entrusted, as men were led and moved by the Holy Spirit, you take upon that, you will find that essence, the essence of the prophetic, is that it reveals everything that was intended to be revealed when a person receives that understanding. When you begin to focus on redemption, as you begin to hone in on this particular subject, you will see areas in your life transform to that which God has ordained for you to do. And then, of course, as we read when we opened up, it was doctrinal. Doctrinal. There are some things that are standard in belief. And then, of course, through this, we're going to classify terms in the Scripture. We're going to prepare our hearts through faith. And we're going to meditate on the Word of God day and night so that we can be prepared to get illumination and interpretation, but more importantly, inspiration from the Holy Spirit, who enables us to take this journey and to help others call upon the name of the Lord. Perhaps in this particular discussion, you heard that you need to look deeper for meanings and purpose. And my prayer for you tonight is that you would study, not to show others, but yourself, to join me on this particular study, to show yourself approved. We have 2 days until we walk over into another month. Let's make this year what God has always intended it to be. A year and a moment in time where when we as people of faith set our focus, the Lord Jesus, as priority in our lives, we see behind the scene the workings of God's power to bring and illuminate this life to meaning and fulfillment and satisfaction through him, because he is faithful to that promise. Some people, it may be hard for them because they really haven't taken these steps to change the connotation of their faith and to correct the trends of culture and to confront corruptions, not only within the church but within themselves, and then also call forth the righteousness, and then confide their hearts in trust with the Holy Spirit. If they would do that, they would see that this story is just beginning as redemption begins. The Bible tells you in Romans 10:9-10 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And simply say, I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised Jesus from the dead. I thank God for the work that he did for me at Calvary. And if you pray that simple prayer, you've activated this redemptive work. And as you continue, you can call in the prayer line. We will connect you with a prayer contact to where they can walk you into the facets of Christianity and salvation, and even pray that you get enabled to live and introduce you to the power of the Holy Spirit that will afford you a witness within that what you've done today will spark a mark that cannot be erased. We thank you for listening to the broadcast. I changed the format, but keep listening on Tuesday. Of course, you can call 202-709-PC4U. Again, that's 202-709-7248. 202-709-7248. You can call for prayer, and we will be more than happy to minister to you. God bless you, and thank you for listening to tonight. Good night.